Timothy chapter 5, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 24 and verse 25. Think on the subject, human limitations in judging. Human limitations in judging. That's 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 24. I think it's obvious that sometimes we must judge right and wrong. We must judge what's sin and what's not. There's sometimes that it's very obvious what's sin. Sometimes it's obvious to God and it's not obvious to us. But we must always judge sin rightly and correctly as only God can. And as Paul writes to Timothy in these two verses we're going to read, that's what he mentions about. And Timothy is, of course, a preacher. He's a pastor of a church. And it is his job to continually put before the people the Word of God and to continually warn them about sin and also to encourage them in righteousness and holiness. And in the process of all this, and seemingly kind of put right here in the middle of some of these thoughts, is in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 24 and verse 25. The Bible said here, some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment. And some men they follow after. Likewise also the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid. Human limitations in judging. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our kind, gracious Heavenly Father, I pray tonight that You might bless as we go through these two verses. And Lord, I pray that You might give us understanding just to follow Your Word and Your will in these things. Bless, Father, for we stand in need and know that without You, all the things we do is just vain and empty. Lord, we know that with You, it's all good. Bless now and keep us, for it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Well, let's just look at these two verses. And as Paul writes to Timothy, he makes the statement, some men's sins are open beforehand. In other words, it's pretty clear. The sins of some men are so open that it is very clearly seen that they're sinners before God. Some men's sins are open beforehand. Paul is telling Timothy that these wicked men may not be judged wicked in this world, but people that are spiritually discerned ought to be able to tell right from wrong. And sin from not sin. The world may not judge sin, but Timothy needs to know what it is. And we all need to know what it is. We need to know, understand what it is. Timothy will have no difficulty discovering men such as have sins that go before them. And we don't, do we? You just take a look out there in the world in general, and it's pretty easy. Sometimes by taking a look at ourselves, maybe we see some sins that are going to be judged, and we know that God is going to be judging those things. The context of this passage underscores the fact that Timothy would have no difficulty not ordaining some men to the ministry. He says up here, like in verse 22, lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. So he's telling Timothy here, in verse 24 and 25, you see these men that are obvious sinners. They're not qualified to the ministry. Don't be laying hands on them. And so he says in verse 19 up here, against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. There again, need to make sure that what you're doing is what God said to do. That's really the plain matter of it all. Evil men are to be marked, so that young Christians will know them, what they stand for, and will stay away from them. So he says, some men's sins are open beforehand. That is, you can look around and you can tell very easily by looking at some folks, though that's a sin. Don't do that. Now don't be confused here by culture, and don't be confused by what other men do or what society may bless or condemn. Don't be doing that. Rather, we know that a sin is missing the mark before God. And so, Paul is telling Timothy, Some men's sins are very open. And you need to be aware of all of that. Then he says, going before to judgment. This phrase here, we can take this phrase a couple of ways. You can take this phrase in verse 24, going before to judgment, you can say, well, that means that God is going to judge them. And I think that's probably a good point. Another good point is to say that it's also true that men can judge. Now, I know that a lot of people believe that we're to judge no one. Well, that's a misinterpretation of the passage there in the book of Matthew where it said, judge no man. It's a totally thing because we do it all the time and we're right in doing that to know what's right and wrong and when somebody's doing something wrong. So it says, going before the judgment, we can know that when a person is judging correctly, and Paul here is speaking about Timothy, who will judge correctly, he considers, as Timothy considers the people that he ministers to, that he's over in the Lord, that he will acknowledge sin that God's going to judge, and sometimes sin that the church ought to judge. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before unto, or going before the judgment. You see, there's no doubt that God's going to judge all unrighteousness. But I don't think that's the primary meaning of this passage. Because Paul is writing to Timothy about his ministry and about how that he should conduct himself in the church that he's the pastor of. So I know that all will be judged of God. We know that. We know that so. We know that the saved will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ and lost at the great white throne judgments. No doubt about that. God is going to judge every sin, both open and hidden. But as humans, we can only judge that which we see in the body. God judges the heart. I think the context of this passage in particular is speaking to Timothy about judging the matter before him that he sees. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before the judgment. Then the Bible said, and some men, they follow after. The meaning here is that when it comes to Timothy dealing with the church members or dealing with men to ordain into the ministry or to be careful about an accusation given to an elder or whatever else is concerning there in the church work, that it is oftentimes impossible to know exactly where a particular person stands before God. Sometimes it's really impossible. All we can do is judge on the outside what we see. It's difficult to judge what is absolutely in the heart. But some men they follow after. Even though there are those things that we cannot discern, it follows after. In other words, one person might put on a good show in the flesh of being a faithful servant of God, but you just wait a while and their heart will deceive them and it will come out what they really are. Now that's what he's saying. Some men, they follow after. Some men's sins are open beforehand. Very plain to see, going before the judgment. And some men, they follow after. Some men, that comes along, we can't see it. But God does judge all of that later. God will reveal sin in His own good time, and perhaps we may never see it. But all men are open before God. And as Timothy here is going to try to be a minister to the church, he has to deal with sometimes things that he cannot see. Our part in this is to see things as God sees them, and there are secret sinners. Is that a good way to put it? Hidden sins. But we need to be careful about that. I think that's why Paul admonishes Timothy to lay hands suddenly on no man. I think that's a pretty good thing to think about. Be careful about those people. Be careful because some men's sins are open beforehand. You know they're sinners. Some men are secret in their sins and God will judge them in time. Now notice in verse 25, likewise, that is in the same manner. The word likewise there means the same thing as. Likewise, also the good works of some are manifest beforehand. And they that are otherwise cannot be hid. Now you just turn verse 25. It's the opposite of verse 24. Where in verse 24 it says, some men's sins are open beforehand. Some men you look at and they're open sinners and they're not even fit to be members of the church because of their rebellion against God. And they might want to be, but they should not be. They need to be right before God. Some men's sins are open. But on the other hand, in verse 25, likewise, also the good works of some are manifest beforehand. And so this verse is simply straightforward enough, especially when you couple verse 25 with verse 24. The word likewise ties verse 25 to verse 24. See, there are some men that are so obviously led of the Lord, it is immediately seen in their flesh because what is in their heart immediately comes out. And there can be no doubt about those things at all. There are men who are strong in Christian character and faith and grace. They're so sound in doctrine and they're so ready to learn and express the truth. Now remember, they're ready to learn the truth, not only to learn it, but they're ready to live it every day. They're so full of faith and hope in Christ that there's hardly any need to examine them. See, likewise also the good works of some are manifest beforehand. That is, it's very open. See the opposite extremes here that he's looking at. There's some men that are scoundrels from the beginning, no question about it. There's some men that are not. There's some men that are very honest and open, and they ought to be taken as such, like that. I don't think Paul is telling Timothy that all of these people of good works are those that are straight-laced. We might say, I guess we'd use that term, buckled up and have no fun and do not smile because you might sin. I don't think he's saying that at all. But their love for the Lord leads them into purity of life. Their dedication to God is clearly evident in the things that they do and the things that they say, the places they go, the places they refrain from going, and their choices of life. Their love for God is so open that the choices they make in life are toward the Lord and always toward the Lord. Their motive is to be right with God and their desire is for God. It is open and plain to all. Here's a person that is pure before God. Paul's writing to Timothy about this because as a minister, you have to deal with all this. As a person, you have to, as a church member, you got to deal with all of this. And we need to know, we need to understand these two extremes. Verse 25 continues here. It said, likewise also the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise, that is, the opposite of the good cannot be hid. In other words, it'll come out. It's going to come out before long. Men who try to hide their sin so that they will be included in the ranks of righteousness will soon be discovered as sinners and gross sinners before God because their heart will not be right. You see, it's going to come out. It will be discovered. It won't be long before their positive inclination to sin comes out, very readily so. First it will be in hidden thought. Slowly it will be in spoken word. And then finally in brazen sinful acts of disobedience against God's clear command. It will come out. That's what the Bible said. The conclusion is this. Do not be hasty about any man. Now there are those, he says in verse 24, that are open sinners. You're not being hasty to judge open sin. It is being right to say that is a sin. It is also right when you say that is holiness. And all the in between will come out. It'll all be evident in time. We don't need to make railing accusations against people that are evil. the fruits of their labors will soon come out. It's not necessary to butter up those that are good. God will bless them sufficiently in His own time. Our place in all of this is to be faithful to God, obeying God, projecting the faith He has given to us so others can see the way of salvation and service. That's what we need to do. In the book of 1 John chapter 3, John mentions here in this place concerning how that we can tell. And this is really what Paul is writing to Timothy about in these two verses. Of course, there's limitations on our human judgments. There's just limitations. There's a part of every person we cannot look in and see their heart in it. I'm sure that the apostles thought Judas was okay. God knew he wasn't. From the very beginning, God knew he wasn't. And in process of time, Judas was exposed as a traitor. And that will happen. In the process of time, Judas reached his own judgment. The book of 1 John chapter 3, the Bible states here in verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil. 1 John 3 verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil. Now that's pretty clear. You know, some men's sins are open. Going before the judgment, some men's sins you can tell right off. So he says in 1 John 3 verse 8, he that committeth sin is of the devil. That's pretty clear. The man that continues to willful sin, go against the commandments of God, is not of God. That one is of the devil. That's pretty clear. And that's evident. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. And it's pretty clear in the latter part of verse 8 that Jesus Christ is the all one, the one that's all good. What it says in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 25, likewise also the good works of some are manifest beforehand. That's Christ. Anybody that's Christ-like will fit into verse 25. The men didn't judge Judas right, and men didn't judge Jesus right either. But God knew the end of both of them. Only one that is committed to the Lord and truly judges from the Word of God, and we ought to judge correctly from the Bible. He says in verse 9 of 1 John chapter 3, whoso is born of God doth not commit sin. And that is not talking about in the flesh. It's not talking about human perfection. Here he's talking about in the Spirit that lives within, there is no sin. That's the part that we cannot see. And that's the part where when it comes to judging, that I cannot tell exactly what your motive is every time. Just give it a little time. And your motive will soon be discovered. It will soon be discovered. He said, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest. That is, revealed. Like in Timothy, to Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 5. In this the children of God are manifest in the children of the devil. Whoso doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. So there we find, again, the black and white of it. We find the wickedness of man. Some of it is very, very open. And God, we know we can judge it wrong. We can judge it as wrong. And God is going to judge it because it is wrong. Then on the other hand, there are those that are positively righteous. While they're living in this body, they have all this sin they deal with. They hate it. And yet God will judge them in righteousness and truth in His own good time. There's another passage to read here, the book of 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1. Talking about how that we ought to be. And this is the crux of the matter, you might say, is how that God expects His children to live. We need to obey the commandments of God. Every one of them. He said, whoso believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now that's a positive statement, and we know for sure that it is so. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. That means simply that if you're saved, you love your brothers. That's what it means. And you do. You love those that are also believers. There's a common bond there that we have in Christ. In verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God. Now just in case you don't know how to tell if you love your brothers or not, the Bible's going to tell you how. Aren't you glad for these Bible definitions? I mean, you can't fool yourself this way. Unless you just want to be fooled. You cannot fool yourself. Unless you just want to be fooled. But by this we know that we love the children of God. When we love God and keep His commandments. Wow, we're right back to the same thing. Say, well, I do love my brother, but I don't keep the commandments of God. Well, you're a liar. It don't happen that way. It does not happen that way. You love God, you love His commandments, and you love your brothers. You love your brothers, you love God, you love His commandments. You love His commandments, you love God, you love His brothers. All three of those go together. Say, yes, but I've got this malice in my heart. How come? Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before the judgment. But there are some things hidden in the heart that only God can discern. But in time, it's going to come out. It's going to come out. It's going to come out. You say, well, I don't want to wait that long. So? I guess that changes everything, huh? In time, Judas was revealed to be a betrayer. In time, Peter was revealed to be a blessed servant of God who was the loud-mouthed, speak-before-you-get-your-brain-going kind of guy. In time, the Apostle Paul was saved. And God turned that man's heart around. And while before, everybody, every believer, was afraid of the Apostle Paul and what he was doing, but after he was saved, there was great peace. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before the judge. You see what he's saying there? There is right and there's wrong. And we need to clearly know it, but we can't know it all because there's some limitations to human judgment. He says here in verse 3. Now, look in verse 2 again. By this we know that we love the children of God. When we love God and keep His commandments, so that's how you know that you love the children of God. That's how you know that. If you love God and you keep His commandments. You know why that's important? It is. I'm going to get into verse 3 in just a minute. But look, it's important because if you break the commands of God, you're going to teach others to break the commands of God too. And you can read about that in the book of Matthew. That means you really don't love me. You're not thinking about somebody else. You're thinking about yourself. You're selfish. That's what he's saying. Wow, that gets to be pretty tough. Look again in verse 3. And this is the love of God. Now, just in case you don't know what the love of God is, the Bible defines that for us. You know why it does that? Because our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked and we can't even know it. We can't even know if we really love or not. So we've got to go with these Bible definitions about whether we love our brothers or whether we love the law of God or whether we even love God. You say, well, I know myself I love God. Ooh, I guess you do. Think you know, but you may not. Examine it in the Word of God. For this is the love of God. Here's how you can tell if you love God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. In other words, it's not a bother to you. It doesn't trouble you to keep the commandments of God. If God said it, I'm going to do it. You say, well, there's exceptions to that rule, you know. Well, you like to show me that in the Bible, then we'll go from there. Because there are no exceptions to the Word of God. There are no exceptions to the commandments of God. And remember this, some men's sins are open beforehand, going before the judgment, but some are hidden. And God will take care of that. The motives and all of that is very, very, very clear. Now, I want to give a few examples of what we're talking about here, about the limitations of human judgment and how that we need to be careful. But you know, there's sometimes that when we see sin, we ought to call it sin. Because sin is sin. You know that? Sin is sin. And when it's wrong, it's wrong. Look back in the book of Numbers, chapter 26. Numbers 26. And I think this is a remarkable passage speaking about sin. Numbers 26. In this place, there's a plague upon, in verse 1, you see there's a plague upon the Israelites because of sin. And there is a I'm reading in the wrong passage. I'll just tell you what it's about. I may be able to find that place because I want you to read that. Numbers 25 in verse 6. Read verse 1, Numbers 25, verse 1. Israel abode in Kittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. This is not a good thing. That's openly sin. And God is going to openly judge sin. They called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bowed down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor. The anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. Now, it is a command of God that all the Israelites would worship and serve God, right? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's his command. And so anytime we see any variation from that, we know that it's open sin. It's open rebellion against the command of God. So here's the command in verse 4. Israel, and the Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay ye every man, every one his men that were joined unto Baal Peor. Alright, get rid of the evil. There it is. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before unto judgment. There's some sins that you need to take care of, God said. And this is one of them. Slay them, verse 6. Behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brother a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel, who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Now, what happened in here in verse 6? Now, think about this. The Israelites have committed this whoredom with the daughters of Moab, and they're falling down and worshiping the wrong God. And God has said to Moses, kill all of those people that are doing that. All right, so what we got back in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 24, these men's sins are open going before. Now it's time to judge them. So he's taking their lives. In the middle of that, here's the Israelites. Here the Bible says in verse 6 that there are some of these Israelites that are weeping before the door of the tabernacle because of the sins of the people. They are there, they're weeping, they're mourning because of that. And in the middle of that, here is a Moabitish woman, Midianitish woman, in the sight of Moses, in the sight of the congregation of Israel, who comes in to one of the Israelites. Now that's an open sin. That is whoredom. in the flesh. That's what that is. That's wrong. It's still wrong. It's patently wrong. Everybody knows it's wrong. People are weeping, mourning over this judgment that's coming. Verse 7, and when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation, took a javelin in his hand, and he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through, both the man and the woman. Said the man of Israel and the woman through her belly, so the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. And here, Phinehas didn't have a command from Moses. Phinehas simply saw what was going on. Moses saw it. Phinehas saw what was going on. He went into the tent, killed them both while they were involved in their illicit activities. Stabbed them, and they're dead. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before the judgment. It was a sin that was evident. It was a sin that Phinehas had the power to stop. And he did. And it was the right thing to do. It was a good thing to do. The Bible said in verse 9, and those that died in the plague were 24,000. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, hath turned away my wrath. Don't you see that? Whenever sin is put away, the wrath of God is appeased. Here's the thing. The world don't see that today. The world wants to believe that whatever I think is the best way to do it. But that's not what God said. God said, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. All those things fit in there together. And we don't need to fool ourselves about that. We don't need to fool ourselves about this thing of sin and wrath and all of that. He said, he's turned away my wrath away from the children of Israel while he was zealous for my sake among them. You see, Phinehas didn't kill those two people because he hated them. But he was hating what they were doing. And that was a sin. And the wrath of God was upon the whole nation of Israel because of this sin that was going on. And Phinehas stepped up and stopped it. And he received this blessing from God. He said, I consume not the children of Israel with my jealousy. Therefore say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace, and he shall have it, and his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God to make an atonement for the children of Israel. So, men's sins are open beforehand, need to be stopped. And it took some nerve for Phinehas to do that. It took some grace. It took some courage to go in there and kill them two people. Say, what about their family? What about these families? Well, who are these two people? Well, I said, they're just nobodies. They're just some lowlifes that nobody knows, no even knows their name. Well, let me read the next verse. The Bible said here, now the name of the Israelite that was slain, even that was slain with the Midianitish woman, was Zimri, the son of Zula, a prince of the chief house among the Simeonites. Now, he wasn't a nobody. He was a somebody. But he was a sinner. And God said, it's not good. Verse 15, the name of the Midianitish woman that was slain was Cozbah, the daughter of Zur, who was head over a people and of a chief house in Midian. She was a sinner. And that was taken care of. That's the way it is. That's the way it is. Now let me read you another verse. Because we need to get well-rounded of this. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before the judgment, but others are hidden. And then there's sometimes that there's powerlessness to do anything about it. The book of Amos, if you would. Amos chapter 5. Amos chapter 5. Amos is a little bit different setting than the book of Numbers, because in the book of Numbers, Israel was a nation in their own right, taking care of their own business, judging their own people. But in the book of Amos, it's not that way. In the book of Amos, the Israelites are in captivity. They do not have the right because of sin, they've lost it. They do not have the right to take care of that wickedness that they see. So let's read here in the book of Amos, just a couple of verses. Let's read verse 10. They hate him that rebuketh in the gate, and they abhor him that speaketh uprightly. Of course, that was going on, but there was a lot of difficulty for the people that saw sin and spoke out against it. Oppression against righteousness. And if a person was righteous and they spoke out against sin, then they were persecuted. Instead of being like Phinehas, who received blessings of God for what he had done, then here we find in this day, because of the situation Israel was in, that those people that spoke out against sin was rebuked. In verse 11, "For as much therefore as your treading is upon the poor, and ye take from him burdens of wheat, ye have built houses of hewn stone, but ye shall not dwell in them. Ye have planted pleasant vineyards, ye shall not drink wine of them." God says, you've done all this, but I'm going to take care of you. There's a time when we need to take care of. There's a time when God expects us to. There's a time, however, because of sin, that we cannot. Verse 12, "For I know your manifold transgressions and your mighty sins. They afflict the just. They take a bribe. They turn aside the poor and the gate from their right. Therefore, the prudent shall keep silence in that time, for it is an evil time." Here's the thing. Even as Paul told Timothy back in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 24 and 25. Timothy, you're in a place where you need to speak against evil while there's time to speak against it. Because the day is going to come when they won't hear it. When they're going to seek to themselves all kinds of evil teachers and all that kind of stuff, and you're going to go away from the truth. And if you're ever going to stand for the truth, if you're ever going to have a happy life and a Christian life and see the blessings of God, you're going to have to understand that you've got to keep the commandments of God, you've got to love your brothers, you've got to love the Lord. All of this works together. Because right now is the time when you can protect yourself. Right now is the time when by recognizing sin and standing against it, you can protect yourself. But if you let sin go, if you don't do it now, Timothy, as the pastor of that church, there's going to be some repercussions later. And we each one face that, not only in our church, we face that in our everyday life, every day. We face that. Every one of us do. And if we just let it ride, we can get into great difficulties about a lot of things. There's another passage that I thought I wanted to read. Let me see if I got another note about that. And I think I did. I don't have it there. Okay. Let's go back to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 5 and look at that again. And you understand here the things that Timothy is being told by the Apostle Paul. He says in verse 24, "Some men's sins are open beforehand." We need to be aware of that. We need to be aware of what sin is. Take it as sin. And judge it as sin. "Some men, they follow after." In verse 24. "Some men's sins we don't know about. God does. God does not hold us accountable for that which we do not know. But God will hold us accountable for that thing which we do know." In verse 25, "Likewise also the good works of some are manifest." It's very plain. Some folks have God blessing them. It's very plain that their love for the Lord. It's very plain because of the way they act, because of the choices they make. It's very plain they love the Lord and they love the commandments of God and they want to keep them. It's a wonderful thing to them. But they that are otherwise, in verse 25, cannot be hid. They that are otherwise from understanding and, well, they that just have a show, of loving the Lord, it'll show up. It'll show up after a while. But our responsibility in all this is to judge correctly in the things that we know about. Because if we're not careful, we'll be judging erroneously. We need to be careful. Human limitations in judging, that's what the passage is about. To me, that's what it's about. The book of 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 24 and verse 25. Human limitations of judgment. Okay? So I'm all done. I hope you are. All right, we all got done same time, I guess. I hope so. But tonight, if you're lost, listen. You know, I cannot tell whether somebody's saved or lost. All I can do is look at them and look at their lives and see if they love the Lord or not. That's all I can do. I cannot tell about you. You cannot tell about me. But if you're not right with the Lord, God knows. And that's the one that really counts. Tonight, if you're lost, I pray that God will touch you, that you'll come to know the Lord as your own personal Savior. Jesus is the one that does the saving. He's the one that does the keeping. Tonight, if you're here and you're saved, don't fool yourself about your sins. Be open to the Lord about those things. And you know, sometimes that's difficult to do, especially for me, because I want to excuse them all. Can't do it. We don't need to do it at all. May God help us each one to rightly understand what sin is, to judge it, and rightly see what good is, and to judge it as well. And let God take care of all the rest. All right. Let's stand, if you would, and be dismissed.